Let's turn to Revelation 13 tonight, Revelation chapter 13. And tonight we're going to talk about the bad guy and just seeing how he is going to come in the last 7 years of history and deceive the world. But praise the Lord, we're the elect of God and we will not be deceived. And we will actually be rescued from his clutches, just like Israel will be rescued, the nation of Israel, from his clutches. The Antichrist is who we're talking about, in being taken to the rock city of Petra, which we looked at last week. Well, let's go ahead and read chapter 13, and we're going to start here at verse 1. It says, "And I stood upon the sand of the sea." Now, you remember that the Apostle John is on the Isle of Patmos in the Aegean Sea. And it's still there today. You can go visit it. It's more like a really rock-type island, but it does have a sandy beach. And it says that this is where John was standing on this Isle of Patmos, where he was actually marooned there by this Caesar because they tried to kill him and he didn't die. So they said, what are we going to do now? And they just said, well, we'll put him on this island by himself and stick him there. And that's what they did. But while he was there, he received the revelation from the Lord that we're reading about, this vision of heaven the Apostle John saw. And he says that he was standing there upon the sand of the sea, and he saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Now, if I can please ask you to remember this fact, that this beast is rising up out of the sea. It's an important thing for the definitions that we're going to get from the book of Daniel about this beast. And so this beast is actually rising up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Now, the reason I believe that this beast has 7 heads, it's just my opinion, is that 7 is the number of completion. We've seen that it took 7 days for the Lord to complete the creation of the earth. We see here just in the book of Revelation, there were 7 seals to open the title deed to the earth. There are 7 trumpet judgments and 7 bowl judgments. And so 7 really is a number of completion, God's full work. And as we begin reading about this beast, this is the complete work of evil, actually including many historical empires and all the evil they represented being wrapped up in this one situation, anointed by the devil himself. For the devil, you remember, has now from chapter 12 been cast down to the earth, and he's really mad, and he's going to bring forth the worst evil that he can think of. And so this beast that's rising up out of the sea has 7 heads, the number of completion, just the fullness of evil. Now, and 10 horns. Now, let's remember these two words, 10 horns. Because as we're reading about the description of this beast, it's hard to go ahead and interpret what's being said here unless we use other scripture. And so we'll be doing that. And so you want to be think in your mind, what in the world are the 10 horns? Well, we have a hint already in this very verse. For it says, and upon his horns were 10 crowns. And so you begin to think of kings or crowns on kings' heads and kingdoms. And we're going to see from our definition scriptures, we'll be to in a minute, that's exactly what these 10 hordes represent, 10 nations, 10 kingdoms. Okay. And upon his heads, the name of blasphemy. In other words, that these 10 crowns, these 10 horns, will be speaking terrible, terrible things against Jesus Christ and against those in heaven, because this is the completion of evil on the earth. Now let's go to verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. So remember leopard. Okay, you're remembering what? It came up out of the sea, number one. Number two, you're going to remember the ten horns. Number three, you're going to remember now the leopard. It's like a leopard. And his feet were like the feet of a bear. So you're going to remember a bear. I know this is a lot to remember on Wednesday night after work. And if you've had a big dinner, but just remember these things, because these things are defined very beautifully in the book of Daniel. And we'll be going there in just a minute. Ten horns, a leopard, a bear, and then the next thing is a lion. And his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. So this beast coming up out of the sea has ten horns. And he looks like a leopard. And he's got feet like a bear. And he's got a mouth like a lion. Bear, leopard, lion. Bear, let's say that together. Bear, leopard, lion. Bear, leopard, lion. Not in that order, but those are the three animals we're going to remember. Now it says, and his mouth, as the mouth, okay, we said that already. And then it says, and the dragon, and we know from chapter 12 who the dragon is, right? Let's just turn back as in a review to see who the dragon is. Chapter 12, verse 9. We always want to interpret Scripture with Scripture, right? That's how we began the book of Revelation, and that's how we understand the book of Revelation. Scripture always interprets Scripture. What does that mean? Well, let's look through the rest of the Bible and find out what definitions are given to us, right? Okay. It says the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. And he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So very clearly, the dragon is the serpent, the devil, Satan. These are all names for the same person. Really the bad guy, the evil guy, the guy that's on the wrong side of the fence. And so it says here, and the dragon gave this beast power. We're looking at verse 2 again of Revelation 13. The dragon, or the devil, or Satan, gave all of his power, all the power he could muster. Again, with the completeness, the seven heads representing completeness of evil. He gave it. He just passed it on. This beast, gave him his power and his seat. He actually gave him his seat. The devil is like offering his place, his seat, to this beast, and all of his evil power and great authority. And so all the authority the devil could muster is given to this beast. Now, again, he rose up out of the sea, ten horns. It was like a leopard, a bear, and a lion. Okay, let's take a look now at Daniel chapter 7, and starting at verse 3. Now, Daniel's back in the Old Testament, the last major prophet, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then Daniel. And Daniel is the last major prophet in the Bible. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 3. Now Daniel, he actually had a dream during the time of Belshazzar, who we studied a couple of weeks ago. Belshazzar is the king of Babylon, and he is the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, the great king Nebuchadnezzar. And so Daniel begins to have this dream. And he says in verse 3 of Daniel chapter 7, four great beasts came up from the sea. From the sea. So these four beasts are coming out of the sea, just like the beast in Revelation 13, coming up out of the sea. We're remembering that, out of the sea. Now, you notice it says that they were diverse from another. They were different, each one. Now, in Revelation, we read it was just one beast. It was just one. But now we have four that Daniel sees coming up out of the sea. Now, the first was like a lion. Connection, Revelation 13:1. The beast that came up was had the mouth of a lion and had eagle's wings. And I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man. Now we're getting some instruction here. These beasts are connected to kingdoms or kings or men. And this beast in Revelation 13:1 is actually a man. For it says here, the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. A man's heart. And I beheld another beast, a second, like a bear. So we remember, lion, leopard, bear. So it was like a bear. And then in verse 6, it says, and I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard. So there's the leopard that we didn't get yet, but just got just now. And so we see these connections. We understand there's something going on here between the prophetic word of Daniel and the dream that he saw and the beast from Revelation. Now let's go on in verse 7. And it says here, now after this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had, lo and behold, 10 horns. Whoa, we're really getting some connections here, aren't we? Leopard, bear, lion rose up out of the sea, had 10 horns, this fourth beast. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. So again, we get this idea that these things are representing men. That they had, that this beast had an eyes like a man. This fierce fourth beast had the 10 horns, but he had eyes like a man. And there was a little horn involved with the 10 horns. And this would be Antichrist. And we'll see how that works out in a minute. And now it says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, and whose garment was white as snow, and the hair upon his head like pure wool. This is the description of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1, isn't it? His hair was pure white, and he had eyes like flaming fire. And his throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from him. Thousands of thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and judgment was set, and the books were opened. And of course, we know about these things from Revelation 20, that the books will be opened, and the dead will be judged out of the things written in the books. And 10,000s of thousands stand before the Lord Jesus when we get to heaven in that day. Now I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spoke. Now this is the little horn. And he's a little guy. He's kind of like Napoleon. Reminds me of Napoleon. But speaking great blasphemous words against the Lord. It says, I beheld even till the beast was slain, and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And we know from Revelation 19, the Antichrist will be destroyed and cast into the lake of fire. And so his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. So these other beasts represent other nations that are evil, that actually were also influenced by the serpent, by the dragon, by the devil. But the Antichrist kingdom is destroyed, but the other nations, not yet, because the judgment of Christ comes after that on the earth. And he separates the sheep from the goats and all the nations at the Valley of Judgment, the Valley of Jehoshaphat, before Jerusalem. And he judges between them. And it takes 35 plus 10 plus 10, it's 45 days, and some say 55 days, for Jesus to make this judgment that he'll make before he sets up his kingdom. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man. That's pretty clear. One like the Son of Man. Jesus called himself the Son of Man more times than anything else he called himself in the New Testament. And so I saw in the night visions, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all the people, the nations, the languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. Praise God. And so right away, as the Antichrist is introduced and the connection is made back to Daniel, we understand that this beast that is so hairy and so scary will be destroyed, and the Lord Jesus Christ will come and rule and reign and have dominion. And we won 7-0. We know it already. It's like watching a game between UCLA and SC the next day after it was played, and you already knew who won. Hallelujah. We already know who wins this battle, and it's us. 7-0. The number of the completion of victory. We're using 7 tonight. Okay. Now, let's get some definitions, brothers and sisters. Let's go to verse 24. We saw that the beast that rose up out of the sea in Revelation 13:1 had 10 horns. And we also already saw scripture about the 10 horns here in Daniel. We just read those. Well, it says, the 10 horns out of this kingdom are 10 kings. Can't get any clearer than that. Bingo, wingo, Bible telling you what the Bible means in Revelation. This is what these 10 kings are. I mean, 10 horns are. They're 10 kings. That shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So what we've got here is that Antichrist is going to be a ruler of 10 nations. Could be what we know today as the common market over in Europe. We don't know for sure. But in the world somewhere, there'll be 10 nations, 10 kings, and they will be ruled by this fourth beast who is diverse from the first, the rest of them, and he shall subdue 3 kings. So he's going to conquer 3 kingdoms or 3 nations and then set up a kingdom that includes all 10 nations. But those 3 will belong specifically to Antichrist until he takes over the world. Now look at verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, and shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given unto his hand until a time, and we had this last week from Revelation, 1 year. As you look at that in the original language, it means 1 year, a time, 1 year. And times, which would be 2 more years, and a dividing of the time, or half a year, 3.5 years. We've been looking at this number many times, described as 42 months, 1,260 days, or a time and times and a dividing of a time. The Antichrist will have power, absolute power on the earth for for 3.5 years. And then Jesus is going to put an end to it after 1,260 days. Now, remember last week we studied on our chart about mid-trib, 3.5 years in, or a time and times and a half a time into the tribulation period, which is 7 years. The Antichrist will actually present himself to be God in the temple of God, after agreeing to help them rebuild their temple, anointed by Satan, who has just been cast out of heaven forever, and he's mad. And the Jews at that time, that's when they run to the rock city of Petra that we studied last week, and they hide there. And here we read about him speaking terrible things against God and killing people that have come to Jesus during the tribulation period. They become martyrs. And we saw the martyrs from the tribulation period under the throne of God at the end of chapter 7 of Revelation when we were reading that. And asking the Lord, how long until you take vengeance on us on the earth? And the Lord said, you need to be patient and wait for the rest of your brothers that will be killed for their faith. And so Antichrist will be ripping on people that just came to Christ and putting them to death. And so this is all laid out just unbelievably accurately connecting with the book of Revelation right here in the book of Daniel through Daniel's dream that he had as we define the horns. And now there's the leopard, the lion, and the bear to define. Well, let's look at verse 17 of Daniel chapter 7. Look at verse 17. These great beasts, those four beasts that came out of the sea that Daniel saw. Now remember, John the apostle is just seeing one beast, but there's a combination of things happening there. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. And so these are four kingdoms or four nations that will be powerful nations that have risen and had empires. And the very simple thing to see in this is there's only one beast in Revelation which culminates in the Antichrist, because Satan had influence on all these kingdoms. One day the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's from chapter 11, Revelation, verse 25. Until then, Satan had the power to offer Jesus Christ the kingdoms of the earth in one of his three temptations in Matthew chapter 4. When Jesus was in the Mount of Temptation, he says, fall down and worship me, the devil said to Jesus, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the earth. Because he had power to do that. The earth was sold out by Adam and Eve and their sin to the devil and his lies. And so these kingdoms will become the kingdoms of our God again. He bought them through the blood of Jesus. But until then, and all through history, Satan has had a hand in every kingdom on the earth. Although God is over all and working his plan out, Satan has influenced Babylon and all the wicked things that Babylon did, directed and led by the devil himself, and all these other kingdoms. So this leopard and this lion and this bear, as it just says here, these great beasts, which are four kingdoms, which arise out of the earth. Now, what kingdoms are they? Well, in order to find that out, we go back to Daniel chapter 2. And with Daniel chapter 2, I'm going to give you a picture so we don't get too confused about these things. Let's go to Daniel chapter 2. And King Nebuchadnezzar, the grandfather of Belshazzar, had a dream. And what did he see in his dream? Charles, could you put the picture up? He saw this statue. It's 90 feet high in the Bible. It says it's 90 feet high. And it's, I'm forgetting now, it was in cubits, and then they did the numbers, but it's 90 feet high. It's this huge statue that Nebuchadnezzar actually built later. But it had a gold head. Can you see the gold head? Ugly dude. And it had silver shoulders and arms. And it had brass stomach and iron legs. And the feet with the 10 toes, kind of relating to the 10 horns, as we're going to see, because they're each little kings, were made out of iron mixed with clay. So the kingdom that's represented by the iron legs, which happens to be Rome, actually will be involved in a way with the kingdom of Antichrist, because the feet, which represent the kingdom of Antichrist, the last kingdom on the earth before Jesus comes, are iron, just like the legs, but mixed with clay, because that man is involved, as we saw the heart of a man, and so forth. Now, as this figure is standing there, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, he sees a rock. And see the rock that's at the bottom of the feet there, that big rock? Okay. Now, that rock comes and hits the last kingdom on the earth, the feet, and completely causes all of these kingdoms to crumble and break up into small pieces. And then the rock becomes a mountain and rules the whole earth. And that's the kingdom of Jesus Christ. So as we are looking at these scriptures, we're discovering who's involved. And it's so important, you see, when you're reading Revelation, to be familiar with the prophets, because they tell us everything. Let's get some more definitions here, okay? So let's read verse 37 of chapter 2 of Daniel. Are you there? You okay? Are you confused with this yet? Is everybody okay with it? Okay, that's why I got the picture there for you. You, O king, says Daniel to King Nebuchadnezzar, you're the king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven has he given to your hand, and has made you ruler over them. You are the head of gold. So who's the head of gold? Babylon. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon is the head of gold. So what nations are we dealing with here? In Revelation 13:1, the first one is Babylon. And can you remember a couple of weeks ago, and we'll get to it again, that actually Babylon is the last on God's judgment list in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, right before Jesus comes in chapter 19. The spirit of Babylon and the evil of the mystery religions of Babylon began by Nimrod in the book of Genesis, carry on through society, through the years. Satan just putting a different face on it each generation, but it's all the same thing. Nothing is new under the sun. And so the spirit of the king and the power and the evilness of Babylon is given in this statue, representing Nebuchadnezzar, you're the head of gold. And then it says in verse 39, and after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to you, Okay, so the next kingdom that arises, and we've been studying this on Sunday morning in Isaiah, the next kingdom, the Medes and the Persians, the Medo-Persian Empire, represent the silver arms and the upper body. And so these kingdoms are represented. First Babylon, then Media-Persia. What's next? This is all written down up there too. And now the next is the bronze belly. And that would be, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth. Verse 39. And that is Alexander the Great. In 332. Conquered the Medes and the Persians. He was next. And we get all these Greek gods, Zeus, and all of this baloney, salami, that developed from the mystery of religions of Babylon in the third kingdom. And so then, next, we have Rome. Rome. The legs of iron, the iron fist of Rome. And they came in about 140, 150 BC, the Romans conquered the earth. I just watched that movie again. What's it called? Gladiator. I don't know if you've seen the movie Gladiator, but it's Russell Crowe. And they came to the end of the wars with Caesar Augustus, and they beat up Germania, which is the German Empire. They went there and had their last battle. Says, you know what? There's nobody more, no one else to fight after this. We've conquered the then known world. And so Rome became this power. Now, there's 1 7-year period left in Daniel's 77s that we have in Daniel chapter 9, and that was the kingdom of the Antichrist. Has anybody ruled the world since Rome? No. Hitler tried. Thank God he didn't make it. And different axes and alliances of countries tried to rule the world. But nobody has since Rome. But there's going to be another world empire. And that's the world empire of the Antichrist when he comes during the tribulation period. And so he will be, as many say, a revived Roman Emperor, a revived Roman Empire, because of Daniel's statue that Nebuchadnezzar saw in this dream with the feet of iron. So have something to do with the Roman Empire, but mixed with clay. It's not as stable as Rome was and the iron fist of Rome. It's only going to last a short time because Antichrist only gets 1,260 days to be the big dude in town. And so it's not going to be that long-lived. But it's going to have 10 nations involved. And so as we put these visions together in Daniel, we understand that the Antichrist is going to come on, take 3 nations, attack the others, bring them into subjection, and rule over a 10-nation confederation of the revived Roman Empire to rule the whole earth. And that's Satan's plan. And that's how it's going to come down until Jesus, the rock, comes and smashes the empire of Satan, destroys the Antichrist, and breaks the whole influence of all those countries to pieces. And there'll be peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost on this planet again. Praise God. Because the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of His Christ. And He shall reign forever and ever. So there's the whole picture when you include the book of Daniel. Now, Daniel's interesting even further because in Daniel chapter 11, there's somewhat of a description of Antichrist. And this is why you might hear some preachers preaching things that you don't know where they got it. Well, a lot of it comes from Daniel chapter 11, verse 37 and 38. So let's go to Daniel chapter 11 and verses 37 and 38. This is talking about the Antichrist here in Daniel 11, 37. It says, "Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers." So some believe, and I'm just saying some, this is speculation, but it's coming from this scripture, the speculation comes, that he will not regard the God, capital G, so we're talking about the God, of his fathers. So some believe that the Antichrist might be from Jewish descent. It'd be advantageous for the Antichrist to be of Jewish descent, so that he could make an agreement with Israel to rebuild their temple, which he will do. So we don't know this for sure, but he will be involved with the Europeans because of the revived Roman Empire, where Rome ruled and had power over. And so these speculations come. Now it says here, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. He's going to be a heathen, of course. He's not going to be a believer, that's for sure. He's going to be anointed by Satan. But of Jewish descent, possibly. And then it says, will not regard the desire of women. Now, some have done a lot with that he, you know, he's kind of a unisex guy. He's not desiring women at all. But there's another possibility here. That it was the desire of every woman in Israel to be blessed with having the Messiah. And Mary was the one that got that blessing. And so the desire of women was brought upon her because she, with the other women of Israel, were desiring to be the blessed one to have the Messiah as a baby. She was the one that was chosen. This verse could be saying, neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. And that is not caring a hoot about Jesus Christ, like the women were. Nor regard any God. He will not regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all, when he declares himself to be God in the temple of God after he agrees to have it built. But in his estate, verse 38, shall he honor the God of forces. In other words, he's a military guy. He worships the army. He worships battle. He worships being a military hero or leader. That's his God. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. So there is a couple of scriptures for you to consider. And as I've shared, these are some ideas that have come from Bible scholars looking at these verses, kind of zeroing in on what kind of person the Antichrist is, showing him as a military leader. And indeed he was, because he conquered. He came forth, as we had in Revelation 6, when the tribulation period starts, that the Antichrist will come forth conquering and to conquer. And there will be much war involved in his administration. So there it is. Now with that introduction then, let's go back to Revelation 13 and take a look at what happens with this guy. Revelation chapter 13. So we got the 10 horns, the leopard, the bear, the lion. These things worked out. Now in verse 3 it says this, "And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast." So he's really got a lot of people thinking about him because he is apparently shot in the head or stabbed in the head. And this wound is healed. And the whole world begins to wonder after him. This is kind of like a fake resurrection. The devil knows that God's plan is the most perfect, so he copies God's plan deceptively as close as he can. And so this would be the fake resurrection, that this guy is wounded in the head somehow, and he's healed. And everybody goes, whoa, heavy dude. And they begin to wonder after him. And they worship the dragon. So they begin to worship the devil, which gave power unto the beast. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And so, just like we saw in the prophetic word in Daniel, the Antichrist will begin to speak against God and to begin to call God names and put God down. And you can see that spirit, the spirit of Antichrist, already active, can't you, in our society. At some point, Hollywood turned on God. And every buffoon and every mistake and every false and lying person in the movies becomes a Christian, and they put this stigma of being a Christian upon all the evil characters. And this is blasphemy, blaming God for the evil in the world and all the stinkers that do bad things. I think the first one movie I ever saw that does this is that thing with, and I can't remember the name of the movie or the name of the guy, but I have it pictured in my mind, the Rainmaker guy, you know, what was that? Elmer Gantry. Yeah, and that was who's that guy? The Birdman of Alcatraz. Who? Burt Lancaster starred in that movie about a fake guy that was coming in preaching, and he ended up seducing the girl or something, and I'm just going, gag me with a spoon, let's turn this one off. You know. But you know how Hollywood does this stuff, and oh, it's just, oh, it breaks my heart. And just to put the Lord down, well, you see, that's all going to culminate in this verse 5. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. So there we have it again. Time and times and half a time. 1,260 days, and here we have 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheming his name and his dwelling place and them that dwell in heaven, to begin to raise his fist against grandma that prayed us into the kingdom, and all of the sweet saints through the years that have ministered and loved people into heaven. He begins to wave his fist at them in heaven, speaking against those in heaven, against the angelic realm. Remember now, Satan is really mad because he just got kicked out of heaven. And so he's going for it. And he is just yelling and screaming at the folks that have gone before us and when we go to be held in the bosom of Jesus Christ. And he begins to just yell at them. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations and all that dwell upon the earth. This is just so gross. Shall worship him. They begin to just worship the Antichrist and to worship the dragon, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. And so the non-Christians will solace themselves and get on some power trip with this false Christ, a And this evil man speaking blasphemies against God, going, yeah, you tell him, let's shake our fists at heaven together, that kind of stuff. And if any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. In other words, what goes around comes around. This guy is going to start taking people into captivity and to seek to destroy the Jews, and he's destroying and martyring people that believe in Jesus. But you know what? It's all going to catch up with him, and catch up with him really quick. 1,260 days, 42 months, a time and times and a half a time. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. Reminds me of a couple scriptures in the Old Testament. He that rolls a stone after somebody, that stone will come back and roll over him. What goes around, comes around. And then there's another one that says, he who digs a pit will fall into it. So if I start digging a pit for somebody at work because I don't like them, and I start backbiting them and getting little clicks to hear the story about how evil the guy is, and I'm digging a pit for him, guess who's going to end up in the pit? Me. Because he who digs a pit will fall into it. That's why you can relax at work when somebody's after your head, because you know what? They're going to find their own head being cut off. Just like with Haman, who plotted to kill all the Jewish people in the book of Esther. And he built a gallows for Mordecai. And that was Esther's uncle. And he was going to hang him high. 75-foot gallows in his front yard. The way it turned out in the end of the book of Esther, Haman was hung on the gallows that he built for Mordecai. And Mordecai was given Haman's house after they cleaned up the mess. What goes around comes around. He that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. And then the Lord says this, here is the patience and the faith of the saints. That the saints should just be patient, wait on the Lord. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. God will take care of it. Don't look for revenge. Man, how many shows and movies do we have about revenge? It's just amazing. Didn't even have a show a while ago about some girl, and they made it a pretty girl, of course. They always search around Hollywood for pretty girls and stuff, and made her some kind of, I'm going to come and get you, girl, to take vengeance. I never actually saw the show, but I saw the commercials for it. And all these, you know, Dirty Harry, these guys, you know, boom, you know, go ahead and make my day, you know, okay, yeah, amazing. These things are all not from the Lord. They're not. The patience and the faith of the saints, leave it to God. Don't pick up the sword and kill people. No, man, come on. Vigilante stuff, you know. Because he that leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Herein is the patience and the faith of the saints as they go through the tribulation period and the martyrdom they have to face. And I beheld another beast. Oh gosh, isn't one enough? Well, no, you see, Satan is copying the Holy Trinity here. We've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. So there's Satan the dragon, there's the Antichrist, and now this third guy is the false prophet. And it says here, I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. So he comes on like a lamb, like Jesus, a soft, mild, mellow first person. He comes on like a lamb. And he spoke as a dragon. satanic speakings. And this is actually a religious leader. And in Revelation chapter 17, he's actually called the great whore, the leader of the false religions, starting with the Babylonian mystery religions through Nimrod in the Fertile Crescent where life began, all the way down through the kingdoms of the earth that are going to be smashed by the rock and fall to pieces. And so this beast, this false prophet, is in the unholy trinity: the devil, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. And he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. The word for beast here in the Greek is therion, which means a dangerous beast. So even though he comes on like a lamb, this guy's dangerous. And, like I said, he's religious and copying the Trinity. Now, in verse 12, it says this: he exercises all the power of the first beast before him and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. So this religious guy comes on and he begins to try to influence the people of the earth to worship the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. That was the Antichrist, a deadly wound. And he does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles — this guy's doing miracles — which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by the sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, the first thing I'd like to speak to is the miracles. In verse 14, it says that he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of miracles. Now, I'd like to turn with you, keep your hand in Revelation, and we'll turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians, and that's right with all the T's in the New Testament. Wherever you find the T's, the Timothy's, the Titus, Thessalonians is the first set of T's in the New Testament. So we go to 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and verse 4. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, and verse 4. And it says, well, the last words in verse 3 say, he's the son of perdition. This is the Antichrist, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And so that is what the Antichrist will do. And then the false prophet is down in verses 9 and 10. It says, and, you know, influencing the Antichrist and the Antichrist working together with him. It says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That's important. He's doing miracles, but it's a lie. It's not the beautiful, wonderful miracles of God, but they're tricks and underhanded things, and using all of his power and deceptiveness as the father of lies, the devil, to make things look like a miracle, but they aren't really God's miracles. And so let's read it again. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. People believe what they want to believe. And these folks that are deceived with all this deceivableness and lying wonders, it's because they received not. They rejected the love of the truth. They don't want to know the truth. They just want to continue in their sin, that they might be saved. So there we're given the explanation in 2 Thessalonians. Well, let's go back to Revelation 13 and talk about verse 15. It says, he had power to give life unto the image of the beast. Now, this word for life is the Greek word pneuma, which actually is better translated spirit, to give spirit, to give spirit. The false prophet had power to give spirit unto the image of the beast. And, of course, that's an unclean spirit. A demonic influence and energy is given here to this image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, there's many that have concluded or speculated, and again, we need to make a difference between speculation and what it actually says in the Word, because it gets you thinking, because we haven't seen these things yet or experienced these things, so you begin to wonder what this means. And so many have thought that this has something to do with a computer that is able to speak. Our computers today can speak. What's her name? Siri? And there's others that, you know, talk to you. Hello, how are you? Yes, will you marry me? I don't know what you mean, is what she'll say. You know, my grandchildren do this all the time, ask really dumb questions to Siri. But anyway, so this deal, whatever it is, will be able to speak. And then it's also going to be able to cause as many that would not worship the beast in his image, that they should be killed. So if it's a computer, maybe it's a computer deal that keeps track of the people that won't go along with his program. And then they are condemned to death and so forth through this thing that speaks. So we don't know what that means. It could simply just mean that there's a statue of the Antichrist that's built and put in the Holy of Holies, where he went in and declared himself to be God, and the thing supernaturally, or whatever, I shouldn't say supernaturally, but, you know, under the influence of a demon, is able to speak and do these things. So we don't know. It's all speculation. But there it is. This will happen. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. So there have been some that came to a place of assigning numbers to letters, and that's done in many of the alphabets, where there's certain numbers that associate with letters. And so when a name, of assigning the numbers to the different letters of the name, adds up to 666, that could be the Antichrist, because it says, or the number of his name. And so they take it that way, that you add the numeric value to the letter, and then you add the numbers, and when you get 666, then that could be the Antichrist. The only trouble with this is that one in every 10,000 names adds up to 666. So you've got all of these hundreds of millions Antichrists running around, and it doesn't make hardly any sense that you're going to identify him just by adding up the numeric letters of his name. And there was a couple of popular figures when all of these things started coming out, these ideas, back in the 1960s during the Jesus movement, that fit this scope. Henry Kissinger was the Secretary of State at the time and did a lot of great dealings with the Jewish people because he was Jewish himself. So there was a lot of people that thought he was Antichrist, and his name added up as they figured it, you know. And then, of course, there's John F. Kennedy. I hate even to mention his name this way, but there were some that were saying that John F. Kennedy could be the Antichrist because he was shot in the head. And one day he might just walk out, shock everybody, and be the Antichrist. And so I've come to believe that that's ridiculous unum. And a lot of things that will come from speculation are ridiculous. So it scares everybody away from Revelation because they think they're just getting these things from the Bible, but they're not. They're just guessing. And so we have to be careful about that. And I always liked what Pastor Chuck said. He says, you know what? I'm not looking for Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. And, you know, whoever he is, he is. And that's between him and God. And we'll just leave it there. So others have said things like this, and this kind of makes sense to me, is the mark on the hand will be three sets of six. And it'll be like a barcode. So that your identity and where you live and what kind of insurance you have and everything will be on your hand and a barcode computerized, so that when you put your hand underneath the deal at the from the checker at the market, they will charge your account automatically the money that you're paying for your groceries. But if you don't have the mark of the beast on your hand or your forehead, then you won't be able to buy or sell. And then that will all be computerized back to the mainframe. And many have said in Brussels, they are picturing a place in Brussels with a big computer, the head of Antichrist Empire kind of thing. And so then they'll know that you're on the hit list for martyrdom because your barcodes aren't there on your hand or your forehead. So that's another speculation. And it's all very interesting because it is true we have the technology to do that today. And we didn't 50 years ago have this technology. And they're even nowadays putting little computer chips in animals. Does anybody have an animal with a computer chip in it right now? Yeah, look at you guys. Yeah, how about that? So there's proof in the pudding right in the sanctuary that we have this technology so that you can find your animal if your animal gets lost. But it just, the other end of that is kind of scary, that if you get lost from the system, Antichrist will find you. Oh, man, I shouldn't say you, because the Bible says that we're not appointed to wrath, but to the obtaining of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when the tribulation period starts, we'll be in heaven. And those saints that come to be saints during that time will have to face the music. So it's so important to try to get your loved ones saved before the rapture, because if it's after the rapture, they will face martyrdom and have to face the Antichrist. Am I late? Gosh, I'm going too long tonight. Well, we're done with the verses, so let's pray. Father, we know that there's been much speculation, many things said through the years about this chapter, and Lord, only you know the truth about it. And Lord, we know that the basis of it, the foundation of it, is true. It's true. This world is facing grave things in the future, and maybe in the close future. It seems to be, Lord, as you're showing the signs of Israel ripening to be your chosen people and ambassadors for salvation very soon again, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just pray for that day when our rock and our fortress and our deliverer, the Lord Jesus Christ, comes and hits those feet of the kingdom of Antichrist to wrap it up, to break in pieces, and that you, Lord Jesus, would rule with a rod of iron upon this planet and put us, Lord, all under your mighty rulership of love and grace. And so we thank you, Father, and we thank you for the truth of this, and thank you, Lord, that we can stand on your promises. We bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. The Lord has nothing but love coming towards us. He needs to tell us the truth, and he does in his holy word. And it's so neat the way he always infiltrates the hard stuff, like the Antichrist and the things described in Daniel, with his second coming, when the Ancient of Days will join the Son of Man and make everything absolutely a-okay and right. And all of these things we suffer with in this society that are not of him are going to be made right. He's come to make the crooked places straight and to fill in the valleys and take care of all of it. So the Lord is with you, and he is instructing you in the way you should go before he comes. And may the Lord just give you a burden for the lost. Just give us all a burden to see those that we love, those around us that don't know him yet, come into his kingdom and escape these things. We're to pray always that we'll be counted worthy to escape these things that are coming and to stand before the Son of Man. And so we pray that, Lord, and thank you in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you great, great peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord.